From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, January 27th, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Pereira.
In this week's report, the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2017 speeds through the U.S. House of Representatives.
CEPT meeting makes progress on WRC-19 agenda items affecting amateur radio.
And a CIA declassified database includes information about Soviet-era amateur radio.
Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I am ARRL Life member Frank Westfall, K6FW of Chino, California, and you are listening to ARRL Audio News.
Just 10 days after being introduced in the 115th Congress, the 2017 Amateur Radio Parity Act legislation, H.R. 555, passed the U.S. House of Representatives on unanimous consent under a suspension of House rules. The bill's language is identical to that of the 2015 measure, H.R. 1301, which won House approval late last summer after attracting 126 co-sponsors, but failed to clear the U.S. Senate last fall as the 114th Congress wound down. The new bill, again sponsored by Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, was launched on January 13th with initial co-sponsorship by Representative Joe Courtney of Connecticut and Representative Greg Walden, W7EQI of Oregon, who chairs the influential House Committee on Energy and Commerce. The grassroots effort of amateur radio operators across this nation in support of the Amateur Radio Parity Act has been remarkable. Nothing like we've ever seen before, said ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR. The bill arrives in the U.S. Senate with ample time in which to garner its approval through an education campaign. We are very encouraged by the speed with which this bill made it through the House, said ARRL Hudson Division Director Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, who has been at the forefront of the legislative initiative. With the help of ARRL members, we believe we can get this done, Lysenko continued. Member participation in this final push is critical. The FCC's new chairman, Ajit Pai, this week praised U.S. House action on H.R. 555 and other telecommunications-related legislation that cleared the chamber the previous day. H.R. 555 calls on the FCC to establish rules prohibiting the application of deed restrictions that preclude amateur radio communications on their face or as applied. Deed restrictions would have to impose the minimum practicable restriction on amateur radio communications to accomplish the lawful purposes of homeowners associations seeking to enforce the restriction.
Progress was made regarding World Radio Communication Conference 2019 agenda items of interest to amateur radio when a preparatory team of the European Conference of Postal and Telecommunications Administrations, or CEPT, held its second meeting January 10th through 12th in Helsinki, Finland. According to IARU Region 1 President Don Beattie, G3BJ, experts discussed a 50 to 54 megahertz allocation in Region 1 in order to create a global 6-meter band. A preliminary CEPT position was agreed upon, which would support a new 6-meter allocation in Region 1, Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and Northern Asia, only if the incumbent land mobile, radio location, and broadcasting services, including their future deployment and services in adjacent spectrum, are protected. IARU will continue to work on these studies with administrations and others to establish the optimum future sharing scenarios, Beattie said. Wireless Power Transmission Transfer, or WPT, was another item discussed in preparation for WRC-19. Studies would assess suitable harmonized frequency ranges to minimize the impact of WPT for electric vehicles on radio communication services. Various organizations are in the process of approving standards intended for global and regional harmonization of WPT technologies for electric vehicles.
Participation appears to be growing in the monthly Federal Emergency Management Agency Region 10 HF interoperability exercises, which take place on 60 meters on the third Wednesday of each month. Check-ins include state, tribal, federal, and amateur radio stations to test HF interoperability in an emergency or disaster response. FEMA Region 10 is made up of Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, but all stations are welcome. Laura Goudreau, KG7BQR, Regional Emergency Communications Coordinator for FEMA Region 10, said the January 18th exercise attracted 56 check-ins, 47 of them amateur radio stations. Also checking in were 6 Army and 2 Air Force Mars stations, 3 SHARES stations, and 1 FEMA station. During the exercise, voice and data modes were successfully tested. The January numbers are up from 48 total check-ins, including 42 radio amateurs, in December. The interoperability net between federal stations and amateur radio licensees has been coordinated and authorized by the NTIA and the FCC. The next FEMA Region 10 HF interoperability exercise will take place on February 15th.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters throughout North America, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now, with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
After the AMPSAT Symposium at Sea in 2016, what can be better than the 2017 Symposium in Reno, Nevada? The dates for this year are October 27th through the 29th at the Silver Legacy Resort. Some of the perks of the hotel will be free parking, free transportation to and from the airport, complimentary Wi-Fi, and multiple restaurants in the hotel. There will be a lot of operating from the hotel parking lot and presentations on all aspects of satellite operations, from designing and building to operating. Mark your calendar for this event and meet the AMSAT Board of Directors, attend the general membership meeting, and attend the annual banquet. More information later in the year. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
The U.S. Naval Academy has received IARU satellite frequency coordination for HFSAT, a CubeSat carrying a 15 to 10 meter inverting linear transponder with a 30 kilohertz bandwidth. The Mode K configuration is reminiscent of the old RS series of Russian satellites. The CubeSat will also carry an APRS digipeter on 145.825 MHz. The U.S. Naval Academy's Bob Bruninga, WB4APR, said HFSAT is designed to demonstrate the viability of HF satellites as a backup communication system, taking advantage of HF radios found in a typical amateur radio installation or frequently used to support disaster and emergency response communication. A standardized CubeSat VHF communication card based on the popular Bionics MTT-4B all-in-one APRS TinyTrack 4 module for telemetry, command, and control is under development at the Academy. Students are working with Bill Ress, N6GHZ, on the HF transponder card. HFSAT's control operator will be Todd Bruner, WB1HAI. Bruninga sees a future for amateur radio satellites operating on the HF bands. HFSAT will operate under the ITU rules of the Amateur Satellite Service, since not only does that service currently have allocations for satellite relay on HF, but it's also the only service with nearly a century of knowledgeable operators' experience with the HF bands under all conditions, Bruninga wrote on the HFSAT webpage.
U.S. and Canadian radio amateurs and Part 5 experimental stations will take part in the second annual Midwinter 630-meter Activity Night, which will be February 4th and 5th. Radio amateurs in the U.S. will be able to make cross-band contacts with Canadian participants. This event is being undertaken because of the continuing worldwide interest in 630-meter activities, said ARRL 630-meter Experiment Coordinator Fritz Robb, W1FR, in announcing the event. He said U.S. radio amateurs are looking forward to gaining access to the new band, while Canadians are eager to learn more about the present level of amateur activity on their newest ham band. This activity night will give interested radio amateurs in both countries an opportunity to see firsthand what is happening, and cross-band activity with Canadian amateurs will offer a chance for U.S. hams to take part in the activity, Rob said. This event is open to both radio amateurs and listeners. Rob said it will provide an opportunity for participants to test their receive capabilities at 472 kHz. Operation will be in various modes.
ARRL member Paul Elliott, W5DM of Hobbs, New Mexico, recently celebrated 80 years as a ham radio operator. Growing up during the Great Depression in Kingsville, Texas, Elliott got his ham ticket at age 14 as W5GGV. Now 94, Elliott eventually worked his way to the top rung, amateur extra, back in the day when that license offered no additional privileges, just prestige. It did later allow him to apply for a two-letter suffix call sign, though, and he became W5DM. His first rig was homebrewed from Atwater Kent radio parts, with a wire to a tree for an antenna, but he remembers making his own Galena crystal for a crystal set and experimenting with a Model T spark coil. He continued building his own transmitters and receivers for a couple of decades, operating CW until SSB came along. Elliott succeeded in working all states on 160 meters from a 120 by 120 electrically noisy city lot with a long but low semi-inverted L, as he described it. He now has 189 DXCC entities confirmed on top band. A Texas native and World War II veteran, Elliott is a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy and served in the Pacific. After the war, he farmed cotton and maize on 200 South Texas acres before going back to school to earn a doctorate in physics from Texas A&M. Elliott spent more than 20 years in academia as a professor of physics at his alma mater.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Craig K9CT of Trivoli, Illinois, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Meteor Scatter is a topic of the latest January 26th episode of the ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast. Sponsored by DX Engineering, ARRL The Doctor Is In is an informative discussion of all things technical. Listen on your computer, tablet, or smartphone whenever and wherever you like. Every 2 weeks, your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the doctor himself, Joel Hallis, W1ZR, will discuss a broad range of technical topics. You can also email your question to doctor@arrl.org, and the doctor may answer them in a future podcast. Enjoy ARRL The Doctor Is In on Apple iTunes or by using your iPhone or iPad podcast app. You can also listen online at Blueberry, Stitcher, and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices.
And finally, CIA reports relating to amateur radio in the former Soviet Union, including the Baltic states and Warsaw Pact countries, are among documents declassified to a new searchable online database, the CIA Freedom of Information Act Electronic Reading Room. Documents cover translations and assessments of amateur radio clubs, training, monitoring Sputniks, technology and equipment, QSL cards, and ruminations on a plan to monitor U.S. ham radio transmissions for activities of interest to the intelligence community. Searches on amateur radio or ham radio will yield multiple documents, some heavily redacted. For example, a 1949 memo largely dismissed the use of amateur radio in the Soviet bloc as an intelligence gathering tool. Except for possibilities in the counter-espionage field, it is believed that exploitation of amateurs with reference to the USSR and satellites could lead at best only to information concerning the location of ham transmitters, an item of dubious intelligence value, said the memo, which carried the subject line, exploitation of radio amateurs. Another memo from the same year showed that the USSR viewed the growing cadre of radio amateurs as the next generation of engineers. Documents covering a wide range of topics not necessarily related to amateur radio also have been declassified, sanitized, and made available to the public for the first time in this archive. Some of those documents were only available previously in a closed system at the U.S. National Archives.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Carla Pereira.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X73, and thanks for listening.